At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know, sometimes we all have that hater that lives within us. And I wonder about that mac and cheese. Like, I wonder, was this a mac and cheese situation where everyone was very happy with the effort?
Look, you got your picture right there, Bump.
If everyone was very happy with the effort.
How do you feel about the picture? How do you feel about the visual? What do you, does that make you go, okay, maybe? Or do you go, ain't no way in hell? The presentation,
is it looks like his level of experience.
Oh, wow.
Now that Thanksgiving, that's
just, he sent that to me. I thought it looked a little more watery.
I think it could be cooked a little bit longer. I need a little,
you need golden on top.
Yeah, but you get points for using heavy cream.
Like, you know, listen, you know how,
did you do it last minute?
You know how you had
no.
I think he went all out on it. By the way, Courtney said I would at least try it. She was listening. My wife said, I would at least try it. I said,
yeah, because she's got a heart.
I don't know. I got to walk. I might have to walk past.
She's got a heart. I mean, you told the man.
Should I make it and bring it up?
You told the man to his face before he ever turned the heat, turned the oven
this,
on.
But this wasn't about Reggie. This was about the decision makers giving him macaroni and cheese.
And to be fair, I thought that I was with Ron. I thought the decision making was kind of
rough. You're not about to do this to me. No, well, I'm not doing that.
I'm just telling you.
Well, I'm up for a challenge, though.
That's all you had to say, right?
No. Like, listen, I feel good about my brisket and smoked meats, but I mean, if I'm going over to Lopez's house, like, you ain't gonna try to do that to me, man. You ain't gonna try to do that to me. No, man. But no, man, good.
Out with guys like me, man. Anything you cook is welcome at the Sterner Career.
Like, you ever been,
it'll be a star.
You ever been
there
to church? You ever been to church and those kids got a selection and they sing, and you know, it's you clap it for the effort. Not like, it ain't like, damn, man, that kid's got a future. Like, it's, yeah. Oh, that baby, yeah. The baby got up there and sang her heart out. I just wonder, was the mac and cheese one of those scenarios, or were people like, wow, I was really, really surprised. Judging by the visual, I think it was an effort.
You think it was an effort?
An effort, congratulations. Went over well.
They just applauded the effort, huh? Yeah. The energy that was put in.
Yeah.
The timeliness, not the actual taste and legendariness that Tyler claims. I feel like Tyler should have helped him out on
Tyler
that.
Had a better
I bet Tyler hadn't talked to him since last Tuesday.
Tyler, I would give Tyler the edge on visual.
And taste.
And comments.
Now, I've not tasted his.
Tyler sells his before it ever hits
the oven. Tasted his. Yeah, he sells it. Yeah, he's a salesman.
Yes.
It's going to be a fun week. I see your text line. I see you over there on YouTube and Twitch. It is. But we gotta look at a game that happened yesterday. And it is, as you see on YouTube and Twitch, Victory Monday. Look at Tyler. Shirt Reaction Monday as well. And Clint, the Texans win 20-16 on the road in Indy. I told y'all, hey, that division, hey, you want Indy to lose. And that division tightens up. And now, hell, Indy ain't even in first place. Jacksonville is. And you play another game. You play another game against Indy, where you can control that, and they have to play too, starting on Sunday. So the division is definitely within reach right now. And of course, at 7-5, had a pretty good weekend. The Chiefs lose behind you. The Steelers lose again, which, you know, they're behind you as well. Pretty good weekend for the Texans in their quest to get to the playoffs. But, Clint, I kind of want to start here, 713-572-4610. What did you learn? What did you learn from yesterday's game on Sunday? Does this change the outlook how you view this team?
Absolutely. I mean, when you look at just what yesterday's win meant, I mean, it opened up the possibility of winning the division, right? I mean, for me personally, it was all about, can you squeeze in? Can you get into that wild card hunt? And what does that wild card swamp look like, right? And winning yesterday was not a must win relative to the wild card, but it was a win where if you could knock them off, then all of a sudden things get real interesting. And the reality of it is you knocked them off and you end up giving yourself another avenue to the playoffs, right? So you just obviously created more of an opportunity and made it more real that you could potentially have a home playoff game. You could win a division, have a home playoff game. And then on the backside of that, if that doesn't end up happening, you've literally bought yourself, if you just look at the remaining games, that they have bought themselves a little grace moving forward. You know, a lot of folks believe final six games of the season, you need to go 4-2. And you got two ducks on the schedule, so you feel like you're going to get one of those. You just knocked off the Colts. And so, you know, it seems a little more likely that they can get to 10 wins.
I say you right got one now. Duck. That Cardinals team's a little they're a little frisky. I think you should win the game because it's at home. But if you go watch what they've done, they've been a little tighter. Like I think the Bucs had to get a stop with 50 seconds left to win. Jacksonville had to play them in overtime. So the Raiders are damn sure a duck. Yeah. I mean that is. I mean,
well, when I look at the remaining schedule, I think obviously this weekend you get Pat Mahomes, you get Andy Reid. You never know what can happen there. But beyond that, when you look at the guys that are going to touch the football every down, whether it's Daniel Jones with a fractured leg or it's God knows what's going on with Geno Smith, you got, I don't even know who's quarterbacking at this point in Arizona. Is it still Jacoby? Is Jacoby Brissett still quarterbacking there? And then you look at Herbert, looks like he broke his left hand. He's going to have some kind of procedure on it. Don't think he's going to miss any time because it is his left hand. But you start going down the list of all these guys that they got their hands full with the Texans defense anyway. Right, and now they're either having their worst year with zero support around them and their coaches have been fired, or the quarterback to some degree is injured, and his play obviously reflects that. And so with the exception of Pat Mahomes moving forward, I mean, this defense should literally shut down damn near everybody that they face.
And we'll be honest, they haven't been the same that they have been.
Yeah.
They go through moments where they look like the team you expected, and then they go through moments where, I mean, they had to punt four times in a row against the Cowboys on Thursday.
Well, so the interesting thing, and we can talk about this more as the week goes along, obviously, but the interesting thing to me is you look how this team wants to play football. It seems like very conservative, and they're okay keeping it a tight ball game, letting the defense dictate the outcome. I don't know how comfortable I am with Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid and his weapons giving them that opportunity. That's my only concern. This is the one team coming up that could potentially change kind of, hey, D'Amico, how are you going to approach this game, right? I mean, are you okay making this a one-possession game and expecting your defense to get a stop inside the 30-yard line with Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid across the ball from you, up four, right? Or are you a little more aggressive and try to score more points offensively? We'll see what they do. But that's a conversation for down the road, but this is going to be a hell of a matchup this
week. Yeah, to me, I think after Sunday, you got to start looking at this team differently.
After this past Sunday?
Yeah, after the game against the Colts, fellas, I think you got to start looking at this team differently. And listen, I have listened to this promo. I wish John was still in here. I've listened to the Lopez promo that's been running for the last week of, hey, you don't have to squint your eyes or whatever. Yeah, this defense, this team can make a run to the Super Bowl. Now, I'm not ready to completely go with that yet, but I know, Tyler, you heard me while I was in Kansas City last week. Every time that came on, and I said it every time, that's a little aggressive. Every time, that's a little aggressive. When you take a look at the Texans and then compare it to the field, that they're going through. They're not going through last year's Ravens. They're not going through last year's Bills. They're not going through last year's Chiefs. Hell, I don't even think last year's Eagles are out there, right? The field is different. And as much as I look at a team that, as you said, hey, man, we'll get to 20, man, and we'll just stall it. As much as I look at a team that seems to struggle at times in the red zone, as much as I look at a team that seems to struggle at times, you know, in short yardage, but when you put them in with this field and you look at this formula, and I think we saw a glimpse with CJ Sunday to where it can be is, A, the defense, hold serve, the offense, make plays when it needs to be, methodically drive the ball down the field, and then get points. And if we get to 20, we're probably going to win. When you're looking at this season right now, the way it is shaping out, especially in the AFC, Clint, if you just have something in your bag that you do really well, that you're great at, that you're elite at, if you just have something, I think this year you got a chance. And obviously the Texans have something. Their defense is, as we talked about last week, the best unit that will walk on any field that they play in, I believe. Offense, defense, whatever. And they're great and elite there. And at times, I don't know if that could get you to where you want to get to. But this year's field, like if you just do something great, the Broncos have this knack to be great at the end of games. They did it again last night. And it doesn't matter who they play. Drake May this year seems to be great for the Patriots and what they're able to. If you do something great, I think in a weird year, you have a chance to get as far as you can get to. And I think that's why you got to look at this team a little different.
Well, I mean, look, I think you can poke holes in every team at the top. I mean, I think there's a handful of teams that are in the NFC that you wouldn't meet until the Super Bowl if you did. Like, I think the Rams and the Seahawks are two teams that you look, talk about pretty good to great defenses and better offenses than we have.
But then the Rams get outplayed by...
Well, then you lose the game. Pick sixes will do that to you,
and
right?
You lose to the Panthers.
When I look across the landscape of the NFL, I'm not completely out on the Eagles the way a lot of folks are. That there's a handful of teams, most of them being in the NFC, that you could say from an overall team perspective are probably more impressive than the Texans. But I love your point of just give me one elite unit on the field, whether it's your offense or your defense, and then if you have that, if you are truly elite, which the Texans defense is, then you've got a chance this year because you look across all the division leaders right now. You mentioned Drake May, Bo Nix. Is Pittsburgh Lamar. Still Lamar? Lamar took that again.
They're tied. They're both 6-6.
So they're 6-6. With the exception of that division.
Trevor Lawrence.
And Trevor Lawrence. So, I mean, you've got some guys that you feel pretty good about you at least being able to limit them in the playoffs. And it's a different story this year. I agree with you, man. That one elite unit that takes the field.
Whether it's if you got a great quarterback, yeah. Like that's why Buffalo still has a chance,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Even though you look at Buffalo, you're like, this may be the worst team they have. But if you put it with the field, Josh is a great element that can potentially, and their run game is great, that could potentially do something where he could get sacked 8 times like he was
right
here. Right, but I just, if you have something, you don't have to be whole. You don't have to be complete this year. If you do something great, then I think you have a chance no matter what that great is. And I think the Texans obviously do something great. By the way, people are texting in. It's so funny to listen to these Colts fans cry. Someone else texted in, the refs won the game. Listen, I'll just say this. Y'all know who y'all sound like. You know who the Colts sound like. Colts sound like a little bit like Texans fans.
Hold on, so.
When they would run into the Chiefs.
I don't co-sign that one.
You don't have to, I will. Sound like Texans fans. And you know who the Texans sound like? Sound like Chiefs. That a team that you dominated tried to whittle down the game to about 3 plays. Yes, I will admit to you, the Colts got a tough whistle at times in that game. But, hey, as I told you all with the Texans last year and the Chiefs, it was first down and 10 from the 17. Y'all didn't have to let Nico Collins run the ball in for a touchdown. Y'all could have stopped him. Could have stopped to a field goal. You had the whole quarter to play. It's silly that the Colts and fans are trying to run back and run through all these plays to try to whittle it down to those three plays are the reason you lost. Nope, your coach refused to give the ball to their best player enough. Their quarterback couldn't make enough plays on this defense, and they couldn't get off the field on third down enough against the Texans. But I agree with you, Texans fans. It's ridiculous that Colts fans are trying to whittle that game down to three plays. You deserve to win. You were the better team.
Look,
they were the better team.
I think there can be a conversation had about the penalties, and they still were the better team, deserved the win.
Sure, yeah.
13-13 ball game in the fourth quarter, that was an absolute, I mean, devastating call.
Multiple, like all in one. Yeah.
I mean, just absolutely devastating. So, hey, man, it happens. We fell right into this one.
You got it. But it wasn't the whole reason. But, I like it. See how you sound. Sounding like you've talked about before. All right, coming up, the Man-Eye Player Institute of the Game. Who are your players of the game? 713-572-4610. A lot of candidates from yesterday's game. Who are your players of the game? We'll do that.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Cyber Monday is on at Blinds.com. Transform your windows and get your home ready for the holidays with up to 50% off site-wide. Plus, doorbuster deals on popular styles at Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the number one online retailer for custom window treatments. Go DIY and do it all 100% online, or choose white glove service with expert design guidance and professional installation for a seamless start-to-finish experience. Whether it's blackout, motorized, sheer, or solar, you'll find massive deals at Blinds.com on premium brands that make any room feel warm and inviting. With Blinds.com, you can browse online, order free samples, and schedule professional measure and install with vetted experts. Backed by award-winning designers and thousands of five-star reviews, Blinds.com has helped millions pull off that wow reveal before the guests arrive. Hurry, Blinds.com's Cyber Monday Super Sale won't last long. Shop now and save up to 50% site-wide and get a free professional measure. Limited time offer, restrictions apply.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
That coming up next.
They were playing that song about you swag and surf, and I looked around. I was like, this is pretty sweet.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in on a Victory Monday on The Drive, and I think after the last 2 weeks and then going on the road and beating the Indianapolis Colts the way you did, not only is the division back within striking distance right now. But But I think you got to look at this team differently. I think you got to look at this team as not just a, ooh, maybe they could make the playoffs. Like, I think this is a team, when you look at the field and you look at the rest of the AFC, this is a team that has a chance to do damage, that has a chance to be able to do something in the playoffs. So I think this was a huge, huge, I think season-changing win against the Colts. When you back up the game against the Bills, you go on the road and do that. Because that's what they're right now, and we'll see. The division, like I said, is still now alive. But right now, you're probably going to have to go on the road, and that was a big road win against a playoff contender right now that you're facing. So, big, big win for the Texans, and then they got a chance to put the nail in the coffin of the Kansas City Chiefs this year as they will play them Sunday Night Football coming up this week. A lot to get to that, but let's do our Man Eye Institute Players of the Game. 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. You can send your text in as well. Our Man Eye Institute Players of the Game. Man Eye Institute, see life better. Tyler, let's start with you. Who is your Man Eye Institute Player of the Game? By the way, Tyler, no hat. Hair looks beautiful. I don't know. Don't know why you take this away, man. You didn't put product in.
I didn't.
I mean, look at him. It looks good, man.
Appreciate it.
Why do you cover that? God, man.
It's ridiculous, man. Over the holiday, really, I wasn't wearing a hat a lot, and my family was like, what's going on? Yeah, so, man, I'm trying it out.
Yeah, it's really selfish, to be honest with you, that you just covered that up. Anyway, who's your player of the game?
I got to go with a guy who was a pivotal factor in the Texans getting this dub, and he was pivotal in my fantasy team hopefully getting a win after tonight's Monday Night Football game. It's Nico Collins. He had 5 receptions for 98 yards, and of course, the one rushing touchdown was that in the fourth quarter or so that helped propel the Texans to victory. I go with Big Nico for my player of the game this week.
I like Nico Collins. I like the it's just quiet, ain't it? I mean, he damn near had 100 yards. And a rushing touchdown. We're doing a post game last night, and I hear Sean say, yeah, I almost had 100 yards. He's like, man, ain't no way. Didn't even get close. And you go, oh, yeah. You know, he really did. He had 98, and he started looking and go, this play, that play, the 21-yard slant to start with, the play where he stepped out of bounds, it should have been a touchdown. You're like, damn. I mean, that was a quiet day, right? I mean, it's just typical Nico to go out there and have a really good day and do it quietly to where, you know, there's not really getting the love that he deserves, which is Nico in a nutshell, really, until the end of the season. You look like the stats he's put up are crazy. I like Nico in this one as well,
too. Got him in the running game, too.
Yeah,
they
man,
get
got
the touchdown. Yeah, that was it was a big-time performance. Toby coming up saying, give me Sting, 0 catches on him yesterday. Mm-hmm. And then he broke up the one that ended up being the last effort for the Colts. All right, who is your Man Eye Institute Player of the Game?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Woody Marks, y'all. This is kind of a little outside the box thinking here because I think he had 19 rushes. I think was it 19 or was it 16? What did he do? What did he end up with? Let me see. I think it was 19 rushes for 64 yards, 3.4, no touchdowns. It's not about the overall game. It's about two things. One, clearly his foot is hurt. Clearly, they took him in and did something to get him back on the field. But the fact that he's, with this foot injury, a running back, going out there and doing what he's doing and not coming off the field and fighting for reps and getting 70-plus percent of the reps, that, number one, that's the kind of toughness that we need. I'm tired of seeing guys make a play and tap their head and go to the damn sideline. It's good to see a guy that you know, obviously dealing with something, and he refuses to come off the field. I absolutely love it, number one. Number two, the run that sealed it late. I mean, we're seeing a guy that, one, they're committing to, but we're seeing a talent at the running back position that doesn't need everything blocked up front perfectly in order to make impact plays. He's not going for 100 yards, but he's making impact plays. And last week it was the fourth down and third down carries where he made somebody miss in the backfield. You know, this week it's just, you know, making that little bit of a cutback and going and getting that first down that ultimately should have allowed us to put a knee in it, but we decided we was going to hand it to him a few more times and get him hit. But just Woody Marks is he's my guy for toughness and timeliness.
Yeah. Woody really helping this team big time. Like you said, man, he got hit where it would have been a 1-yard gain, and then he just – just kept his balance and kept and rolling. And next thing you know, it was 8 yards. So big time performance from him. My man, I Institute player of the game is Dalton Schultz. His physicality is, he ain't going to be confused as the most physical guy, but that was great execution and a good design from Nick Cayley on the touchdown. He is the lead blocker for Nico Collins and escort him to the end zone for that touchdown, which ultimately became the difference. And then he had 7 catches for timely yards, first downs, drew a pass interference penalty in the end zone or near the end zone on their opening drive. So I think Dalton Schultz, his physicality and just being there, and he's not going down easy, right? Like he turned a couple of – I'm watching that block right now. Boy, he went and got 2 of them. He's not going down. He turned a couple of what should have been 4 or 5 yard gains to 8 or 9, which I thought was big time. So shout out to Dalton Schultz as he is. He looks like a different player.
Well, he's on pace. What he said. He's on pace without a doubt to have his best year as a Texan, and potentially what year was that in Dallas? His last or 2021 in Dallas. You know, he went for over 800 yards. I mean, that's the only year that's going to be better than what he ends up totaling this year, I would imagine. And so he's got a chance to clip that as well if he's got a couple of good performances and can stay healthy down the stretch. So you can argue right now that Dalton Schultz is off to potentially a career year. And I think the biggest part of what Dalton Schultz brings to the table that really stands out is the physicality that he has just decided. Clearly what we talked about last year was justified because you're seeing a whole different player this year and how he attacks the position.
Yep. So shout out to him, the coaches, the expectation change, but Dalton Schultz, big time performance yesterday as well. All right. Remember, coming up at 3 o'clock, we will hear from the people and get back to the Texans. But we gotta discuss what was the biggest overall story, it seemed like, over the weekend, Clinton. That's Lane Kiffin. You got any issues with how things were handled by Lane Kiffin? We'll discuss that coming up next.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It is a Reaction Monday and a fourth straight Victory Monday for the Houston Texans as they are now 7-5 and are rolling right now after winning on the road against Indianapolis. We looked at this 3-game stretch of home Bills at Colts at Chiefs as this is going to be the season. I said they had to at least go 2-1. Well, they have already done that. And now they are going to look to get greedy in Arrowhead coming up on Sunday Night Football in front of the world. So this will be a big weekend for the Texans. And Clint, listen, we'll get back to the Texans coming up at 3 o'clock. We want to hear from you all, so be ready for that. Tyler will open up the line so we can hear from the people. But the big story over the weekend, Clint, is Lane Kiffin. And Marty Smith had a eventful 36 hours where you could tell he was about over it at the end of it. And finally, what he said, that message to Lane said, please tell me this is over. Please tell me we will have something by the end of the day. But Lane Kiffin, ultimately, Clint, decides to go to LSU, hired as LSU's coach, and he will not finish the season as the Ole Miss coaches. He wanted to try to coach this team in the college football playoff and beyond, but was not able to do so. He will sign a 7-year deal that's worth $12 million annually. And word on the street is he's going to have a budget of about $25 million with NIL to get players as well. So this is a big move within the SEC, Clint. But, I mean, the talking point is how it was handled. And in your thoughts on how this thing was handled, specifically by Lane Kiffin, because a lot of people are looking at him.
Yeah, I'm not real worried about how Lane handled it. I don't know. I'm not privy to the information to know exactly who did what to get to a conclusion to judge how somebody handled something or not. I think Lane is absolutely genius on social media, whether you like it or not, whether it's trolling or not, whether it's garnering likes and clicks and attention from the people that matter the most in his life, and that's young athletes, and people that buy tickets and students and all of that jive. So the way he quote unquote handled it, I don't have a problem with. I got a problem with the way Ole Miss handled it. To me, Ole Miss is the one, the party involved here that really dropped the bag. Ole Miss is the one that should have put all of their energy and efforts into, Lane, we understand why you would leave. We're talking about a top three program in America when it comes to the ability to win football games. We're talking about one of the top jobs in America in all of football. And Ole Miss just ain't on that level. And you got to know who you are. And so to go in with these quote-unquote ultimatums, and I know that Lane Kiffin said, you know, there were no ultimatums, but to go in with these quote-unquote ultimatums, force him to make a decision, to even get to a point where you're the one that has to have conversations about coaching the rest of the season, I think they dropped the bag majorly. First time in program history at Ole Miss, they win 11 regular season games. They clearly got the best chance they're ever going to have to win a national title. Every bit of their effort and energy should have went into, Lane, we know you're leaving. We understand why you're leaving. Put this thing off. Keep it as quiet as you possibly can and coach this football team and see this thing through.
You think that
in the college
football
playoffs? Absolutely.
You think that could have happened?
It could have happened afterwards. Lane asked for it. Clearly, LSU agreed to it. The Ole Miss athletic director said, I can't let you do that. I got to live here. I can't let you do that. Right. And so, you know, I think those days are over. I think those days of like this is a year to year league now in college football. It is the wild, wild west. And the truth of the matter is we've got the programs year to year that lose so bad that they fire coaches. They are ultimately impacting the college football playoff every year. Right. They're impacting it because now you got the programs in college football that are losers. Not them personally. The programs are the losers over the last handful of years to the point where you're paying a coach $50+ million to leave, and now you're going and stealing the national championship potential from another, forget that they're quote-unquote rivals supposedly, just from another team, one of the 12 teams in America that have a chance to make a run, and the coach is like, the coach is the least party to blame for this, the fact that he's leaving. So, I think Ole Miss dropped a bag. I think they should have done everything they could to keep this thing together. Because you're seeing what's happening right now. Lane's taking the entire offensive staff with him.
I think he's taking a couple guys. Apparently a threat of
the general manager, the offensive coordinator, the wide receivers coach. Did I say OC? I mean, there's three or four of them going, and it's really the offensive staff. They hired Pete Golding, which I love what Ole Miss did there. I've always been a fan of Pete Golding, the defensive coordinator. You talk about a guy that's a great coach, but he also has the ability to relate to players in today's game. I love where they ended up landing. I love that in an attempt to salvage their chances this year. But every bit of their effort should have been put into Lane, stick around and see this thing through. The landscape has changed. All this whole, I mean, I got people coming at me on Twitter talking about, oh, you'd let somebody date your wife. No, the landscape, if you can't acknowledge that the landscape of college football has changed significantly and players are going to leave. Last year, it was Tennessee going into the college football playoffs and the quarterback's wanting more money or he's bouncing, right? So, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I think they dropped the ball. I think the NCAA's flawed, obviously. I don't blame Lane for taking a dream job, and I think Ole Miss should have handled it differently from the jump.
Yeah, the timing of how the dates follow is to me a big thing. And for me, I if I'm Ole Miss, I'd try to entertain him, but I can understand of, no, I can't have the LSU coach still working as my coach for the next 2 months in my building. Right. And I just think the dates are the problem.
But,
right?
But why? Here's my deal. Why?
Because he's a coach of another team in your conference. Like, I mean, and he's and because of the dates, he's got to be recruiting. He's got to be doing stuff for LSU. And I can understand why Ole Miss is like, no, I don't want that in my. I can't have that in my building.
Yeah, what far outweighs that is they've never had an 11-win season. They've never had a shot at a college football playoff, and now you got it. I agree with your overall point, but to me, that trumps everything. That trumps it all. Because what if Pete Golding's really good, and all of a sudden next year, Florida State fires their guy. Pete Golding's going to be a guy. You going to tell him to pack his bags and leave when you're on the doorstep of the college football playoffs again?
Yeah, if he's going to be the coach of another team.
I think it's silly. Dion did it, and it wasn't a problem. I just don't see.
I think it is silly in the only sport that we have in which the season, the way it ends, rolls into the other year, right? I think they could change the dates, right? I don't think Lane should have to choose in the middle of his season if he's going to continue to coach this season. Or, like, I don't think Lane should have the ability to recruit yet for LSU. I think there shouldn't be any hires or the ability to hire folks until the season ends, like in every other sport, right? We knew Ben Johnson was leaving the Lions, but it didn't mean, like, all right, man, season's over for the Bears, so you can't coach the Lions anymore. It makes them a significant team. I think it's more of that than – I can understand. You're the head coach of Ole Miss. You don't want to be here anymore, right? At this point, and you have to recruit and work for LSU while you're here for the next, I don't know if it's a long playoff run, 2 months. So I can understand that. But again, that isn't really Ole Miss's fault. It's the scheduling fault.
It all falls back to the schedule, but it's one of those. And here's the other part of this thing. Now knowing that you're going to hire somebody that was in the building as the long-term head coach, the defensive coordinator, It would even make it easier to go, hey, Lane, stick around. And the guy in the building with you has got tabs on everything that's going on. I understand the whole LSU, that whole deal. But I hate to break it to everybody. If Lane would know today whether he was taking that LSU job or not, whether it ever went public or not, and LSU ever called him or not, Lane would know that he was going to take that job in 2 months. It wouldn't change one thing that's going on right now. If he were going to recruit underneath and yank players, which he's going to do, if he were going to do that, he knows exactly who they are right now, just like he would if he wasn't under contract with LSU. Like, being LSU's coach doesn't change anything about what Lane is or isn't going to do over the next 2 months. So it's an opportunity that I feel like. If you're Georgia or Alabama or one of these schools that, hey, man, you're in the college football playoffs every year. Blue blood, Texas, you know, we talk A&M now. If you're one of them, okay, I get it. Ole Miss, hey, man, what that dude's done for you over the last 6 years is wild. To think that's just going to take off again at Ole Miss? This is an opportunity that the odds are you're not going to have again for the next 20 years.
Yeah, text line coming in, show, but if they're not able to recruit, then the NCAA has to change the signing deadlines. What you're saying don't make sense. I thought it was clear. I'm saying they need to change it.
Well, whether it's signing,
the dates need to look, the dates need to change.
Whether it's transfer portal, signing coaches, talking to coaches, contract, the NCAA is to blame for every bit of this. Right? Now the fallout is Lane's got to make a decision before a college ball playoff run. You know, the fallout is these guys are put in a position where if the school doesn't force Lane to leave, then now they don't know who they're going to hire next, and the whole coaching pool is gone, and you got to get the eighth best coach instead of the third best coach.
And then you got a place where LSU's like, no, I don't want you to be there. We want you to get over here right now and get, which is it has been silly for years, but it's even more silly because now this is going to start happening to teams because there are 12 teams that are eligible to win a national championship. And this is going to start happening more and more, and they need to change the dates and the deadlines all these days. I mean, it happens even in other sports. It happens in college basketball all the time. right, where, all right, there's a coach that's going to leave for a better job. They don't have to then stop right before the NCAA tournament starts.
Yeah, it's silly.
they get a chance to play for it all, right? Like it's silly. And to me, this is more of a overall thing that the NCAA allows than it is a Lane Kiffin thing. Now Lane's a little messed up. Lane to try to hold them people hostage over there and said, if you don't let me coach this game, I'm gonna go ahead and take all your players.
Which he's gonna do anyway.
Yeah. All right, coming up, we'll open up the phone line, 713-572-4610. Let's hear from the people. As you sit back, four-game winning streak, they just go on the road and beat the Indianapolis Colts. They sit at 7-5. Do you really believe that this formula that it looks like the Texans are rolling with is good enough to get them to a place they have never been? We'll discuss that coming up next.